Whether it's Prime Day or Mama Day, get the best deals on everything you need at Amazon.com. Help support Rob as a Podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with some special coverage here for Big Brother 18.
Breaking news are happening now.
Yes, that's right. Our special coverage continues here tonight as we have a real treat for you on a Tuesday, which we don't normally do a Big Brother show on a Tuesday, but we're able to get this person here with us. One of the Big Brother masterminds and from Big Brother 17, currently in the World Series of Poker, but taking some time out to join us in this very important week in Big Brother 18, Vanessa Russo. Vanessa, how are you?
Hey, you're so official. I love the little intro and everything.
Not really. That we just have to pretend really hard that we are. Anyway, Vanessa, so excited to have you on. And, you know, we started talking on Twitter about maybe having you on last week, but we had to fast track it this week.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Dicey for Tiff.
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to put this out there that normally I don't talk live feed spoilers, or we normally talk about the episode, but there's no episode tonight. The episode is going to be on tomorrow night. So we're just going to go right into talking about things that are going on in the spoiler version of Big Brother. So if you are especially spoiler averse, then what I'm going to recommend is just, you know, hit the pause button, come back in 24 hours after you watch the Wednesday night Big Brother episode, and you'll be caught up to where we are. And you can still hear the rest of this before Thursday's episode. But we have, time is of the essence, and we need to talk about things that are going on the live feeds. And that is why Alex Kidwell is here with us as well. Alex, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. You know, this is a really special opportunity for me. I've never been able to say I've talked to an actual master of game theory, but technically that is the case tonight.
Yes,
technically.
Yes. Well, anyway, Alex, it's been very fun to watch your recovery from Chicago in real time, to have you here every day all this week since you got back. But okay, good to have you on board. And Vanessa, of course, I mentioned at the top of the show, you are in the World Series of Poker right now, taking some time out to talk with us. I'm sure everybody wants an update on how you're doing.
Yeah, I'm still in. I played day one yesterday. My day two is tomorrow. So today's my my day off. For recovery. And then after tomorrow, I just keep going every day until I'm eliminated. Hopefully I make it all the way to the final table and win $9 million.
Okay.
It's obviously a long shot. It's a lot of people in this event, like over 6,000. So we'll see.
All right. Not unlike Big Brother, just taking it day by day, hopefully advancing to more and more tables.
Hopefully. Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to do everything within my power, but you also got to not get unlucky.
Not get unlucky. All right. And well, let's talk about where Tiffany is and if she got unlucky along the way. Now, she is up there on the block, one of three people nominated for eviction this week. And as of today, things were not looking particularly good. She does not appear to know that she's in very imminent danger, but the tide is turning a bit as of this hour. Alex, could you just give us the quick update as to where we are right now?
Sure. Yeah. So, in the middle of a potential like total house flip is where we are right now. Like, it's like really up in the air. Tiffany has, like, at this point, I think solidly won Davon and Michelle's support. And that's, you know, that's what you need. As soon as you get one or two people who are like 100% on board, then they're going to start campaigning for you. Once you have a couple people putting, you know, once you don't have to do all the legwork yourself, it makes it a little bit easier. Nicole seems to be really, really on board now. Corey, I think, you know, is the kind of guy who might go along with what Nicole wants to do. So that's good. Zakiya seems receptive to it. The obstacle right now, as I see it, is Paulie, who seems to be like the one person that they want to bring into the situation that doesn't seem to want to go with it.
And I was just, you know, watching the live feeds before we came on, and he was saying, we have to get rid of Tiffany because I watched Big Brother 17 and I saw her sister. She was up on the block and they let her come down. They let her stay. And look what happened, Vanessa.
But like, Tiffany's not me. Has anyone noticed? Like, can they please get past the voice and mannerisms and see we are two really different people. Like, I'm a professional game player who studied game theory at Duke. Tiffany is, you know, a teacher and not a professional game player. It's not, we're two different people, completely different skill sets. She's more of like an artist. She sings, she's artistic. I can't draw for shit. Like, we have different, completely different skill sets. And if anything, they should have seen, she just played the comp 2 days ago, the one that I won pretty easily on my season, and Tiffany didn't do that well in it. I mean, we have very different skill sets. She is a very intelligent girl, yes, but to be scared of her playing a similar game to me is kind of irrational at this point when all the evidence points to the contrary.
Vanessa, first off, now we don't get a vote in this, so you don't have to sell us on it. Isn't it fair to say that she's probably a very dangerous player? Wouldn't it be a good idea? It would be unfair, but wouldn't it be a good idea to get rid of her if you were in that big 8-pack alliance?
So, yes, there is some truth to that. But the way I like to make decisions in Big Brother, what I think is really important when you're weighing decisions out, you have to weigh out urgency versus long-term goals. And in the very near term, people like Bronte and Paul are a far greater risk to the people who are going to most of the voters this week than someone like Tiffany, who's in an alliance with them. Bronte and Paul are not. Paul has won a comp. Tiffany hasn't. Bronte is certainly more fit than Tiffany and smart. Paul is certainly intelligent as well. I think she's the least likely of the three to ever win a comp and to ever go after them. She has a very clear target that'll still remain in the house, who happens to be aligned with most of the voters' own target, which is Frank. So she's someone you can predict exactly what she's going to do in the near term. Bronte and Paul, kind of an X factor. You can't really predict what they're going to do in the near term. And she's actually never broken her loyalty. She's kept, a lot of people have told her things and she has never opened her mouth. I mean, to me, it seems like she's someone, oh, not to mention, if the plan goes awry next week and Frank stays in the house, who do you think he's going to go after? Obviously, if Tiffany's still there, her above everyone else, because he's going to think she flipped the vote. And so when in reality, you know, it's her in combination with a lot of people campaigning and helping her. And so it's smart to keep that shield in front of them in a worst case scenario. Overall, I think the near term calls for keeping her.
So we're about 48 hours away from when this live vote is going to happen. What is your gut telling you is going to happen based on you got to put on your weather person hat and say, okay, here are the storm fronts that are moving in. Do you feel like that she's going
to... I don't have a weather person hat. let's see. Really hard. I feel like a tornado is in store. I think we're going to be going round and round and round with different targets over the next 24 hours, so much so that I'm not sure I can handle watching the feeds right now. It's stressing me out.
Yeah.
It's pretty stressful. The targets change just like in the last 2 hours, probably 10 times. So it's really hard to say which way it's going to go. I think if everyone makes the best quote unquote game move, Tiffany should stay. That's the way, as a game theorist, I like to look at things. Now, in game theory, we always say we assume players are rational. Problem is, that's not always reality. Sometimes people make emotional decisions instead of logical ones. And if that happens, like, for instance, Pauly convincing people to go for Tiffany, when that's really more of an emotional thing. He has kind of a fear. Every argument he makes, if you look at it, is founded in fear. Fear that she's going to potentially do something similar to me. Whereas logically, there's no reason to think she would, could, or should do any of the things he's fearing. And so if they act rationally, she should stay.
Vanessa, one of the wackiest things for me in this season has been that for some reason, Tiffany is so far on the other side of Pauly, where it seemed like that they had a bond in the beginning of the game about being the two siblings in this season. And literally on the feeds right now, he's the one arguing that she needs to go home. They need to send her out. Why in the world is he fighting so hard to make himself be the only sibling in the game? Isn't that a good shield for him?
Yeah, I tweeted that like a couple of days ago. It was so frustrating for me because since the beginning, I've wanted these two to work together. It's like such a natural fit. Like you said, they're both siblings. They're shields for each other. And they also had like personality chemistry in terms of like friendship bond. You could see that they speak the same language logically. And I mean, they hang out, they get along. I don't know what's the holdup. The only thing I can really point to, and Tiffany even mentioned this when she was trying to get to the bottom of it yesterday with Day, like why Paulie's kind of changed his vibe towards her. It's probably he was a little, for lack of a better term, butthurt that she didn't tell him about the 8-pack. And I think that she was really tight with him before all of that. And then when he found out about the 8-pack and she was one of the last people to come, he didn't, instead of looking at it like, oh, Tiffany's really loyal, she doesn't open her mouth when she shouldn't, he took it personally and is now really hurt. And I really think that's what that's, he also might have looked at it like the 8-pack picked Tiffany over me in terms of if they were going to have one of the siblings. So she's got to go because for some reason they have more loyalty with her than me. Maybe that's it.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Now, the Davon factor here is also fascinating because Davon has really done a complete 360 seemingly on Tiffany, where it seemed like, okay, she starts off, she's in the Fatal Five with her, and then she's on the outs with her, where I remember it was, you know, the night before 4th of July, where I'm watching what's going on and she's talking about to the rest of the Fatal Four, hey, we got to get rid of her next. And then now here is Davon, who is leading the charge to keep her. So what has been your reaction watching Davon, who you were in the house with last summer, playing, really holding so many of the cards, no pun intended?
Okay. I've been thinking about this one a lot. Like, it is confusing watching. And for the first 2 weeks, I was like, I don't know whether to love her and hug her or hate her at this point. Like, it's confusing. And what came out recently, which really helped clarify the issue for me, was when Tiffany and Day were talking on the hammock, on the feeds, about maybe 5 days ago or so, it came out that they had a final two, actually, they must have made before the feeds went live. So I think in the beginning, Day was planning very far ahead and trying to plant seeds of doubt with the other castmates so that Day would be closer with everyone than Tiffany would be. I think it started as that, because if you have a final two, you want to make sure your final two is with someone who's less liked than you. And it was more of like a likability factor. It wasn't that she wanted Tiffany to go so much. She wanted to just make sure people didn't like Tiffany as much as they liked her. I think it started there. And then it progressed to a little bit of paranoia when it came down to the comp. Day really wants to win a comp. She's been on two seasons now, hasn't won a competition. That's important to her. And instead of in the moment seeing that Tiffany's life was on the line and the only person's, you know, board she could see was Day's and she was trying to win, she took it personally like Tiffany was somehow gunning straight for Day. And I think after she talked to Tiffany about that whole looking at my board during the comp thing, which is really what turned her against Tiffany, she forgave Tiffany very quickly, saw that Tiffany was dead honest with her. Look, I was fighting for my life and like a competitive thing took over me and I wanted to throw, but then I just couldn't. And she believed her. And I believe her. I think that that is what happened to Tiffany. And it wasn't evil to Day. I think it's pretty obvious based on the facts that Tiffany trusts Day more than anyone else in the house. Every time she gets any information, she goes straight to Day with it. And also, to Tiffany's credit, Day told her a lot of like secrets, especially about other alliances Day is in. Tiffany's never opened her mouth. And over time, that initial maybe paranoia factor to do with the fact that she's my sister abated and was replaced with trust based on evidence that Tiffany is trustworthy. And I think that that's kind of the whole 360 degree turn that we've seen with Day.
As a viewer, it just seems like it made so much sense for Davon to keep Tiffany around because Tiffany is this lightning rod that Frank wants to get out. Davon wants to get Frank out. And it just goes back to the old thing. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And it really felt like, why can't they get on the same side of this if they're all going after Frank?
For sure. Especially when you saw how well Frank was able to control what Bridget did. This week, I mean, doesn't it concern you that her too? Remember, I don't know why everyone has such a short memory. In the first week, who was Bridget in an alliance with? I mean, Bridget was essentially on the other side of the house with Paul and Bronte. Mm-hmm. And so who's to say that Paul and Bronte aren't going to be as susceptible to Frank's manipulation if they win HOH? I mean, it's a big, especially Paul. It's pretty obvious Paul has bonded hardcore with Frank. And I'd be nervous about him really controlling what's going to happen. not to mention the fact that the majority of the voters are females this week. And if Paul wins, he's definitely going to be targeting a female. And that's a pretty easy way to guarantee their safety by getting rid of him right now, rather than keeping someone in the House who's definitely potentially could target them, as opposed to Tiffany, who's 100% not going to target them. It's just a safer play.
Alex, if this goes Tiffany's way, who is going to ultimately go home on Thursday? Is it going to be Bronte or Paul?
Still, that's to be decided. You know, like that's it, part of this large conversation that's still happening. And that's kind of part of why this is like such a crazy cocktail on feeds right now, is that it's multiple conversations just all kind of conglomerating into one big discussion that not too many people can have too loudly before other people are clued in on. You know what I mean? So it's a little dicey. I would say that, Vanessa just outlined the reasons why I think Paul is the more sensible play for a lot of the voters. I think like I've heard Bronte's name thrown around more just because I think Paul has, you know, like Paulie in his corner. He's got a couple of people in his corner that might be willing to, you know, put out a case to keep him, where Bronte doesn't really have that presence in the 8-pack right now.
You know, in watching the feeds earlier tonight, Vanessa, it looked like James was also campaigning for Tiffany to stay. He was making the case to Paulie and a bunch of people in the backyard right before we came on. Now, I was surprised because I thought that James was probably more in with the guys. So I thought that was interesting to see him want to save Tiffany in this spot. So what's been your feeling about James in terms of your relationship with him and how he fits into all this?
All right. Well, first, I got to say, James is playing a great game, in my opinion. If you look at him structurally within the House right now, he's probably in the best spot. He's got a great relationship with Paulie. And through that, Zakiya. He's got a tight relationship with Day and Michelle and Tiffany now in trying to flip this vote. He's got Natalie and by extension, the Bronte slash Bridget, the Spy Girls. He always has their GT girl time thing with them. Structurally, he's sitting really at the intersection of several alliances. And he's also not the biggest target in any of those alliances. And that's always a great place to be sitting. So first and foremost, I want to say, like, I think he's playing a great game, probably the best game so far. That aside, our own personal history, James and I, like, I had a misread, I think, early on in my season about James. He lied to me, but eventually I became HOH. I confronted him about it, and he apologized. And from that moment on, all the distrust I had for James actually went away. And the only reason we were ever not working together was that we had previously formed alliances that we were loyal to. So both of us are loyal people to our initial alliances. And it was just because of the structure of the House that we didn't end up working together. Personality wise, we always actually really got along and said numerous times we would have worked together if things had been structured differently from the outset. And I think that there's a similar thing going on with Tiffany, except for this time they're on the same side of the fence. And I think also after his conversation with her this morning, she did a really good job of downplaying her strategic side and her intelligence, and was asking for his advice, which is something that we talked to Tiffany and I talked about before she went in. Like, look, you can't seem like me at all. You have to go in there and like ask other people what their opinions are, and make other people think things are their idea as opposed to your idea. Because if it comes from you, it's gonna turn them off and they're gonna think you're me. And so she did that really well this morning with James, and I think really dispelled any of this paranoia that James might have had about me.
What have you thought about the way that Tiffany has campaigned or been having to campaign or not campaign this week? Because it seems like she's been very low key, but I think that also might be a factor of not having all the information right now.
Well, at first it was frustrating because I was obviously like seeing her not campaign be so comfortable, you know, like she did the week before when she actually wasn't the target. Maybe she was thinking this is just the same thing. But there was this glaring evidence that it's not the same thing. Like all of a sudden people are treating her differently. When she walks in rooms, people leave and stop talking. They're like all the signs. Then like Michelle slips when she's drunk and actually literally tells Tiffany, Bronte is going to be here next week. Mm-hmm. In not so many words, but it's pretty obvious. So Tiffany picked up on all of those things, and rightfully so, her suspicion for, I don't like the word paranoia, was piqued, and she is actually doing it perfectly, like without looking paranoid, without freaking anybody out that she's unstable or whatever this misconception is. She's doing a really good job of seeming not threatening, trusting her alliance. And when you trust your alliance, it makes them want to trust you. And they should trust her because she does trust them and has no plans against them. So I like the way she's playing it right now. And it's easy to sit out here and judge, but I got to trust that Tiffany has her finger on the pulse of the rest of her castmates, you know, vibes better than I would just watching the feeds here and there. So I think she's doing a good job. The vote's starting to flip and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I think that it's actually, I think, been in her favor to not really know how much danger she was in during the week, because I think that she was able to slow play the week. To use the poker terminology, whereas if she really realized like how much trouble she was in and really tried to campaign hard all week, I think it definitely would have made people more fearful of her. But that the fact that she's been so calm about it really has been reassuring, because that's been a complaint that people had, where, OK, she's paranoid and she's going to play the game aggressively like her sister.
Yeah, well, it's not so much that glad for an opportunity to address this. I think that there's like a huge misconception about my game, which I want to clear up right now. Like, I'm a logical strategist when it comes to game moves. I'm also an emotional person at heart. And I think that me getting pretty far in the game was sort of in spite of my emotional ups and downs, not because of it. My emotions were never like an intentional tool of mine. Let's just get that out there. Like, I can't cry on command. I wish I could stop crying on command, I'll tell you that much, but I can't control my emotions as well as I wish I could. I could do it for short periods of time at the poker table, but like 24 hours a day on feeds, you know, my emotions came out here and there. So the problem is, in that house, there's this conception, like there is probably in the world, just because of the way the show's edited, that emotions were somehow like my tool, and they really weren't. So the thing is, Tiffany, like, was handcuffed from even showing any kind of emotion, whether it's being overly excited or overly nervous or crying or anything normal, which you see the other castmates displaying far more than her. And I don't think that's really fair, because the thing is, that's actually not what they should be looking out for. They need to be looking out for strong opinions and the way I talk. That's the lawyer side of me, the part of me that went to law school. That's the person that managed to change people's opinions and get what I needed done in the house. It wasn't the emotional person inside of me that did anything effective in there. And it's just that misconception, I think, that's hurting her.
Do you feel like that's more from the people in the house or more from the people that are either on social media or idiots like us doing podcasts?
I feel that's sort of everyone, and it's not anyone's fault. It's pretty much just the way the show was edited, which I get. They're trying to make a good television show, and I don't think me sitting there spouting off game theoretical points is all that freaking interesting. I think me like breaking down and crying when you're used to seeing a stone-faced poker player is much more interesting to watch. So I understand why they spliced together scenes like that and made it appear a certain way. I think that was a slightly exaggerated version of what really went down. And I also think it kind of skews the reality. People don't really see how I actually got things done in the house, when people who watch the feeds do know how I got it done. And I just would logically, like a lawyer, I would address every counter argument and come back at it with five other reasons why something else needed to be done. I would think a lot of steps ahead, the emotions, if anything, hurt me more than anything in the game. That was never a good thing for my game. Like, if I were to go back, that's something I got to figure out. I'm not going to get that under control. We'll see if it's possible. But that's definitely wasn't a part of the toolbox.
Well, there were rumors that Coach Vanessa was going to be a thing this summer.
I wish, but no.
Yeah. We saw Coach Audrey over the weekend in Chicago, too.
Yeah. You know, it would be fun. Fuck, I'd love to go back and coach that. Being a game theorist, I love analyzing any kind of complex situation. And if it's not my ass on the line, it's just actually so much easier. It's to be emotionally detached and make good decisions. And so coaching is actually something that would be awesome. I probably have a way better shot of being a successful coach than a successful player, because after watching Tiffany go in there and get so much shit just for being my sister, I've realized that I'm like screwed. If I ever go back in there, I'm not sure. I really don't know how I could ever like get past the first or second week. Because it's been hard enough just for Tiffany, and she's actually not me.
Yeah. I think you'd be okay. I think you'd be all right. You'll figure it out. I've seen you get out of tighter spots than that. Yeah. The person who's really seemingly in the middle of everything going on in the house has just been Nicole this whole way through, from being the HOH the first week and having that position of power for the first, 16 days of the game or something like that. And so she's really going to be a key decision maker in this. Could you tell us, why is it best for Nicole to keep Tiffany around?
Oh, man, this is really, really a pretty easy one. Tiffany's on Nicole's team. If Tiffany goes, who is the easiest team to target? Well, let's see. The only team that's a showmance, can't ignore the fact that it's going to be her and Corey, a glaring obvious. That would be like Clay and Shelly being on their own team. It's such a big target, an easy lure for any potential HOH that can't, for whatever reason, target Frank, or maybe after Frank goes home. Tiffany's a shield for her. Not to mention, Tiffany's a number that, as long as this team thing is in effect, if Tiffany wins HOH, she's automatically safe. It's like a free roll in poker. It's like throwing away the opportunity for a free roll, something a poker player would never understand. So that's why, to me, it doesn't make sense why she would. Now, Corey, on the other hand, it seems like Nicole gets that argument, and she's been trying to convince Corey of that. But Corey seems to have this emotional hang-up. He doesn't like Tiffany because she hasn't done well in his estimation in the comps. But I think that's a little hypocritical, because I'm not sure he's won any comps. And it seems to me it was a photo finish between him and Glenn in that first comp. So I don't know what his hang up is. She's a bit nice, but the
right.
Same.
Touché.
Vanessa, speaking of Glenn, if things do not work out for Tiffany this week, she will not be dead. She does have the shot for the buyback in the battle back coming up next Friday night. I actually feel like that she might have a good shot at this, based on the fact that the first three competitors are all guys. And if it's something that's more endurance based, that typically those have favored women in Big Brother, or at least guys that are smaller in stature. So I feel like that she has maybe a unique skill set, potentially competing against these guys. How do you feel about her in a battle back?
If it's endurance, I don't know. She's 5'9", you guys, almost 5'10". She's really tall, and height is a huge disadvantage in usually in those muscular endurance ones. It's normally smaller people. They have a lower center of gravity, and which shifts weight around and makes it easier. I'm shorter than her, and I've always been the more between the two of us, she's the long, skinny model body type, and I'm the more muscly, shorter version. And while I was actually pretty decent at muscular endurance, I won two of those comps. That's not really so much her thing. She's more fast. She's actually fast. She played basketball in high school, and she can definitely go pretty quickly, especially versus girls. But the thing is, she has an age disadvantage also. You know, she's probably the oldest one, other than if it's Glenn that she'll be competing against. And there's that. I'm going to hope for a mental comp. A mental comp, I think Tiffany has a great shot. If it's physical, maybe physical combined with a puzzle. She did well on Sequester in those kind of comps.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at puzzles, but I don't know. You just really, it comes all down to the comp. So I'm just going to hope it's a good one for her.
All right. We'll see. Vanessa, I got to get your take on Frank, who has really been the person who's been butting heads with him. And Frank's been butting heads with a lot of people. We saw everything with Davon from the other night. What have you thought about Frank and the return of Frank this season?
What a letdown, because basically after the first week, I was all pro Frank. First of all, I was a fan of Frank's. He was up there with my top five players of all time. I love someone who, when their back's against the wall, they survive any way they can. And, you know, I didn't watch feeds back then, so I can't speak for his personality and how he was on the feeds in his season. I can just say, based on the way the show was edited and what I've seen, I liked him. I liked his personality. I liked that he was a winner. I liked that he was someone who never gave up. I liked that he was willing to make bold moves, even though he bought into Dan's the funeral thing. I liked the fact that he seemed trustworthy for doing that in the first place. I liked him. So I came in with this view, was impressed with how low-key he was playing, yet subtly playing puppet master. And then week 2, 3 started happening, and it was pretty much a very fast fall from grace. I think the problem for Frank's game comes down to the fact that he doesn't know where to draw the line between being the one controlling what's happening game-wise and being the one who's controlling everything and micromanaging every aspect of the house, right down to people's weight, what people are eating at different times of the day, you know, when they're eating, how many bottles of wine there are, or whatever he snapped at Tiffany over. Like, there's all kinds of situations where he gets like really heated quickly. Like, it seems like he goes from 0 to 100 real quick, and about stuff that he could be so much more chill about. And if he were, he wouldn't be rubbing people the wrong way, and they might have a more higher of a tolerance for him controlling so much of what's going down in the game. Thing is, when you're controlling like everything, people are going to get annoyed at you and they're going to want you gone. And he doesn't realize that, coupled with the fact that he's a big, strong, competition winning beast. It's like the opposite thing you want to be. You want to be not noticed. Like, he wants to go back to what he used to do when he was wearing those pixels. He was fading in the background, and it came out, I guess, yesterday or today on feeds. He said when he's wearing punishment outfits, his strategy is to lay around a lot and sleep, and just, he doesn't want to be on camera in them, basically. I was thinking, well, hell, that would be a much more effective strategy if you just pretended you had one of those on at all times.
That's funny.
He played perfect when he was wearing the pixels.
What do you make of the idea that, according to our esteemed live feed team, Frank has said in the house that, you know, Mike Boogie took Frank under his wing in BB14, and they've remained friends. And Mike Boogie said, hey, if Vanessa is in the house, work with Vanessa. And Frank has said that he tried to work with Tiffany, and he just couldn't, even though Mike Boogie told him to.
Yeah, I think that if it had been Mike Boogie in there, they probably, just like Mike and I get along, Mike and Tiffany would have probably gotten along. Tiffany and I, we have the kind of person that we're not like submissive girls. Really. Can't hide the dominance in our personality. We just, when we have an opinion, we share it. We were raised by a strong woman, and that's the way we are. So there are certain personality types that clash with that, and Frank's one of them. Frank is someone who likes to be in control of everything. That's blatantly obvious. Tiffany doesn't fit into that plan. I mean, I tweeted, you know, Tiffany was pretty much the only person to ever stand up, other than finally after being spanked 5 times a day, standing up to him. Other than that, and I mean, Dave, someone who could definitely stand up for herself. She was, for game reasons, not doing it for a while and eventually had to. But other than that, in Tiffany, no one stood up to Frank on anything. And so Frank just saw that he wasn't going to be able to control Tiffany. And it's that personality clash that made it impossible for him to work with her. And so I think Boogie's advice was on point if it were Boogie's personality in there. The thing is, Frank is much less chill than Boogie is. Boogie socially is a very chill guy. Frank socially is someone who needs to control a lot more of what's going down. And that's really what clashes with Tiffany.
Okay, Vanessa, if Tiffany can make it through Thursday night and she's still in the house on Friday, what does she need to do to re-ingratiate herself back into a position of power in the house?
I don't think she wants to be in a position of power right now. To be honest, I think she's playing great. If she makes it past this week, I like where she's at. And I hope she isn't in too big of a position of power for at least 2 more weeks. Because, and this is, she and I talked about this before she went in, she has such a big target on her back already. She really, really, really needs to differentiate herself from me by not being seen as a shot caller, essentially, someone controlling the direction of the game. I won 2 HOHs in the first 5 weeks. If Tiffany gets to week 6 and she hasn't won an HOH or been a power player, that's great for her game. That's going to be, you know, her only tool, really, to allow people to just forget, finally, that she, you know, is related to me. And so I'm not actually too worried about her getting into a position of power. I think that where she's at, she's doing what she needs to do in terms of building trust with people, being a good person in the house, staying out of the way, out of sight, out of mind, using logic when it matters, being trustworthy, and being really social. She's doing that far better than I ever did. She is a more social person, and you know, I'm more we're both introverts, I think, but I'm more introverted. And so she definitely has been, she's also single, which makes it a lot easier. You know, she's in there, she's doing all the social stuff that I like sucked at. So she's doing a good job at that. I think she's doing a good job.
Okay. Vanessa, I know you have to get back to the poker table soon. You have time for a couple of questions from the listeners?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Just a couple of questions. This is first from Ian, not Ian Terry, we don't think. Who does Vanessa think is in the best position right now? In other words, who's playing Steve's game? Okay, well, that those two things I feel like can be mutually exclusive. But who do you feel like is playing the best game right now?
I don't know about, I'm terrible with best and worst and most and least.
All right,
questions.
So if you could jump in, if you could tag in, who's the chip leader right now?
Okay, I would say James. I think James is playing a great game. I think also that actually, it's not so much that she's, I just like how, where she's at in the house is Zakiya. I think Zakiya, because I think Paulie's also playing very well, but he's a bigger target in front of her. I think that Zakiya's going to go deep and has all the right relationships to make it very far. And if she gets to final two, has an awesome social game, hasn't pissed anyone off. She's very well spoken. I could see her giving a great speech. I could see her doing well. I could see Paulie doing very well. James doing well. Let's see.
Sticking on James, do you feel like he has what it takes, though, to win in the end game? Don't you feel like he's going to just run into a similar position where he went out last time, where he's going to end up just being friends with everybody, but probably isn't going to be able to put himself in a position where he can get to the end or be in a group with a majority?
Not necessarily. His downfall last season was that he's a loyal guy, but his alliance couldn't win any competitions except for him. He's aligned now with people who can win competitions, hopefully. And so I actually think he can go pretty deep. He's good at those muscular endurance comps, which we know always appear in the end game. And if he gets the final two, he's a lock to win, which is going to make it hard for him to make that final two, which is why I hope strategically he makes the right choice of choosing someone who, like Day, who also will be hard for people to take to final two, or even like my sister actually is a very good fit. It's something, it's a reason what I would say to James in that spot. I'd be like, listen, no one's going to want to take either of us to final two. So let's just give our word to each other right now. You have my word on whatever it is. And I think James, when you look him in the eye and you both give each other your word, you should be pretty good. And I think that if he makes a good decision with regards to the final two, he could go pretty deep.
Okay. The OC wants to know, what kind of Big Brother tips did you give Tiffany before she went on Big Brother? Now, I've heard you say that you didn't know that she was going this far into the casting process, but at some point you...
No idea, like 5 days before. It was crazy.
Okay. So then you have 5 days to prep her. What did you tell her going into the house?
So like, remember, we live in different cities. I'm in Vegas. She's in Miami. I'm playing the World Series. She was finishing her teaching job, was just wrapping up. And so we only had like a few hours to talk, basically. And I wish I had time to go over a comp specific strategy, like something that would have really helped her during the memory comp. And there's just a lot of comps that I had specific strategies for that I think would help her. I didn't get to do that. What I did get to do was we talked about how to handle being me and how to minimize that. She hasn't totally taken my advice on that. She's still in there, though, so I can't judge her for that. You know, that's her choice. It's her game. I told her that if there were vets in there or another sibling, that's going to be a great shield for her. And with our voice, people are going to know she's my sister. Don't deny it if you're confronted with it, that you should just let them know. You know, now if you're the only one in there and the only big target, then that's another situation where potentially you want to lie. But which I still actually didn't recommend. I still said, if someone comes at you and straight up asks, you shouldn't lie because it's so obvious. Like, if you close your eyes and listen to us, we have the exact same voice.
Oh, so, we know.
Yeah. we talked about that. We also talked about how to structure herself in the house. And I explained, you know, my concept of umbrella alliances, which is what I tried to do last season, which is what I think James is doing very well right now. Tiffany, unfortunately, has been forced to play so defensively to this point. She hasn't been able to make the offensive calls that you'd need to make to be in a position James is in, but doesn't forego her doing that in the future. But an umbrella of alliances means putting yourself where you're not the biggest target in any alliance you're in, and where you are basically at the intersection of several powerful alliances in the house. And so we talked about umbrella alliances. We talked about,
I love it.
A lot of different little things about also trying to be less emotional, which I've seen her trying. It's hard, though. So, you know, but this week she's been way chiller than I would have been. So kudos to her for that. She's been really cool about being on the block, almost to the point sometimes I was like praying she would get paranoid for a second so that she would realize she's actually the target. But it seems like she does know, and she's now campaigning. So it's all good.
Okay. One last question. Jordan Woodson says, with Davon, Michelle, Nicole, and James all wanting to keep Tiffany now, do you think that they could swing Paulie, Corey, and or Zakiya to keep her too? Now, just based on what you know about these players, what do you think the winning combination of votes needs to be for her?
I think that the people who it's a no-brainer logically for them to keep her should be Nicole, by extension Corey, Day, Michelle, and James. I have a feeling that it's going to be Day, Michelle, and Zakiya. Zakiya was actually really open to the idea when she was fed it, and James seemed open to the idea until Paulie brought up the fact that if they keep Tiffany, it's going to incense Frank to have to win this HOH, and that seemed to scare James. So I'll take any combination, but yeah, I'm thinking the most likely is going to be her team, the Fatal Five.
Alex, I know that this is a very much a moving target that we're talking about right now, and I'm sure that things have shifted even as we've been on this podcast for a little bit. So where do things stand now, and what's your prognostication going into Thursday's vote?
So, yeah, it sounds like Nicole has like maybe shying away from it a little bit, which is not great. Again, still a lot of time left, though.
And why?
That's frustrating. And but, you know, Nicole is one of these players that, like, you know, we've touched on it before. She is a very, very like fear driven kind of risk averse player. Like this idea that Frank could, you know, be incensed and win a comp, I think, is very scary to her. So, yeah, if they're going to, you know, get her on board. Right. This pitch that, you know, Vanessa made, I think, is a very good one about like there really is no sense in taking out someone on your team. There's plenty of people Frank would target before Nicole. I just think it's getting her to see that and fully realize it. That's the trick. Right.
OK, well, the good news is that it has changed about 5 times today. It's only, 7:50 p.m. Big Brother time. Probably will change at least 3 or 4 times before any of us go to bed tonight. And we'll see where this lands. And again, a very fluid situation. Vanessa, thank you so much for coming on with us. I know you're pressed for time these couple of weeks with everything going on in the World Series of Poker, but we really do appreciate it. And lots of great insight as usual.
Thanks for having me, guys. Anytime. Like I said, I enjoy your show. And so, yeah, hopefully Tiffany's around and I'm still obsessed with feeds and can come back on and talk about it.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully we can come on and talk with you again later on this season. And I love the Umbrella Alliance. Can we make that the hashtag for this episode?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. So Wednesday night, we will be back again live after the episode. Taryn Armstrong will be with me at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time to recap everything from the veto episode of Big Brother. And of course, we will update the live feeds again 24 hours from now and get into everything that has gone on overnight and into Wednesday on the podcast. Make sure you don't miss any of the episodes that we do, any of the Big Brother recaps here on the podcast. Go to robiswebsite.com/iTunes to subscribe to the podcast, or for our YouTube channel, go to robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Have a great night. Vanessa, thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, follow at Alex Kidwell on Twitter. I'm sure that he will be live tweeting up a storm over these next 48 hours as well.
Oh, man. Yeah, these feeds are like this is what live feeders live for, Rob. It's this kind of, in-house chaos. And yeah, it's good stuff.
All right. Good feeds. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.